He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Good morning to this edition of Car Keys with Jada Markin, Robin Leach, and sometimes Mike. And we are doing this show sort of at the end, tail end of the fall of 2024. And so if you hear it later on, this is when it was done. And the leaves have dropped, and blessedly, it hasn't rained a whole lot, or we'd be talking more about the slipperiness of leaves when they are in batches on roads, especially winding roads, when the roads are wet, because this is sort of a beginning safety tip for driving in treacherous conditions. Most of the time we talk about it in the terms of snow and snowstorms, but Jay and I have both mentioned wet leaves as being somewhat of a dangerous condition if you find patches of them, and that's when they're bundled up in the road and they are very wet and you're on a winding road with this situation. And you should be very careful as a driver not to be going too fast if you see this condition on the road ahead of you when driving.
And I want to add, Robin, I want to add in on that. For you people that I see blowing your leaves into the road, shame on you. Stop it. I'm done.
Okay. I can echo that. And
I'm still seeing
it. I've seen that. Especially some of these lawn companies, people, staff, are sometimes trying to blow the leaves across the road from the property that they're clearing to in what they must think is an open property, not being sensitive to the fact that the owner of that property might not like finding a whole batches of leaves in it. But that's very true.
Let alone the fact that Robin may be driving by.
Or me.
That is not necessarily a comment that anybody needs to listen to, but that's when I see these topics for the show.
Well, there must be a law against doing that.
I am not a lawyer, and I'm probably not going to spend the time researching that particular topic, Mike.
All right. I'll check it out to find out, because
it
should be common sense. It should be common sense, but no, they're still blowing them in there. Thank God we haven't had the rain. I especially worry about the motorcyclists.
Well, cyclists, people who are the closest to the side of the road.
Bicyclists could also have that problem,
yep.
And you know, a lot of people don't know how to ride bicycles in what I would consider to be a proper manner, especially if they've rented these electric bicycles that are available in numerous locations around our Northwest Broadcast Corner. And I have seen some people who I have decidedly don't know how to ride an electric bicycle, weaving very dangerously along the sides of the road where you were supposed to try to stay when you're on a bicycle, whether it's powered or by foot or by battery. And that is another observational situation which drivers should be aware of if they see these bicyclists, whether they are pedaling them manually or whether they are pedaling them hybridly, which often happens, or whether they're on pure electric, just like the car.
So if I can make a couple comments. Yes, cyclists, at this time of the season, not only do we have leaves on the ground, luckily, there haven't been a lot of wet leaves until maybe this morning. But also, the days are a lot shorter. We just rolled the clocks back, and it gets darker a lot sooner. So cyclists who have not been riding with any lights on, which they should do anyway, this is a good time to start putting
using
lights
them
on your bicycles.
And using your headlights on your cars, which we have talked about, and we seem to be stuck on this topic in numerous shows, because it is a very dangerous situation.
Yeah, and I'm trying not to talk about it for once, because we can every single day. But also, at this time of year, at the end of the day, the sun is pretty low, and
it's
I'm
blinding.
Sure you guys have too. You go around the corner, and all of a sudden, you know, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun is right in your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
You can't see anything.
Yeah.
And
total blinding.
And for oncoming cars that are coming with the sun behind them, I have noted that the cars coming around some of these corners sometimes are so blinded that they may or may not be actually in their lane, completely in their lane.
Exactly.
So that's another observational thing that drivers need to be paying attention to. all of these items we've just talked about or topics require constant vigilance and keeping your eyes on the road, not on the seat beside you or in the rearview mirror looking at something on your face or whatever else you might be doing in the car, which is often seen to be something else besides driving.
So, if I may jump into the topic of distracted driving or assisted driving or tech-assisted driving, I've been driving a lot of different cars, and the more newer cars, as most people know, have the possibility of hooking up their phones and using either Apple CarPlay or Android Auto, which I think is a great feature. I'm one of the close to 50% of adults in this country who use an iPhone, and I plug into Apple CarPlay every time I can. Now, that is, in some cars, it's very easy to do because these are usually cars that I don't drive on a regular basis, and I can jump in a car and pretty much automatically or very easily hook up to CarPlay. And in some other cars, you have to go jump through hoops, and in one or two cars, I've had to give up. But it is worth the effort. If you have a car and you have those options and you have a phone, I strongly recommend you hook up the two if you haven't done so. And it enables you to use features like Google Maps or Apple Maps or Waze to navigate your way around, but also it connects your phone, it connects your text messages, but no, you cannot watch YouTube videos while you're driving.
And also, if you're going to be using the map segment and everything, a lot of phones today, all the modern equipment, has voice capability. Don't be using your fingers. Use your voice to run the Google Maps and stuff as well.
Correct. Yep.
Good point.
And these are great tools. And in my case, and I drive, a lot of different cars that are not mine, and you have to take the time to figure out how these tools work, and you want to connect them before you get on the road.
That's a good point, because I see
and
a lot of people
goes for when you travel and you get a rental car, and you don't know what rental car you're going to get. So that's the same point about rental car use. Before you drive out of the parking lot, I did not do that in a recent trip out of our listing area by plane, and I got into a rental car, and I did not find out how to attach my phone to Apple Play or whatever. And it is, once you do, it's so easy to use. But if you don't, you are in potentially in trouble if you're trying to do it while you're driving down the road.
Exactly. And to that point, there are a few car manufacturers who do not offer the feature. Tesla is notorious for that. And I was surprised to see that Rivian also does not offer that. And more shockingly, GM has announced that they had announced a while ago that they are pulling out of the feature and instead are using, are forcing people to use their own entertainment, or just interface. And I think it's kind of a shame. I mean, the idea of having a common,
common denominator to how to use all of them in all the cars is what should be a standard. There should be a standard operating map.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All the car manufacturers do. To my two experiences, one of them was a Nissan Armada, and it was terribly complex, or in my opinion, to me. It might not have been to Jay, but it was terribly complex, and I did finally figure it out. The last car I rented was a Chevy Malibu, which I was going to report on an earlier show as being a very delightful car, and I'll get back to that in a minute. But it was very easy, and the only thing that I noted in it is nobody had deleted their phones when they turned the rental in. So when you were attaching your phone to this Malibu system, the Chevy system, GM system, which is maybe going to disappear with the disappearance of the Malibu car, which I think Jay says this is the last year. It was a 24. It had five other people's phones listed in the list, my wife's phone turned out to be number 9 on the list. So you might want to clean out your rental car information when you do leave a rental car back at the rental car place, because otherwise I don't know what you might have left in that system beyond just the iPhone number, which won't work, of course, with somebody else's iPhone.
I complain so much about my rental cars that they take them out of service when I turn them in.
Well, that's delightful. But the Malibu, let me just get back and finish with the Malibu. It was amazing. It had a Turbo 4 engine. The thing that I found very amazing was that the power was very good at the elevation that I was at, which was in Colorado. So it was at the Mile High City and the surrounds, which meant you were at 5,000 plus or minus feet elevation. And usually fossil-fueled cars, certainly the smaller engines, are taxed when they are up at higher elevations. Turbochargers often negate that problem. And this engine was quite sprightly with the car. It was a car that got 35 to 37 miles per gallon during my entire driving time with it. And that included some local driving, but some interstate driving between where we were staying in Colorado and where we were going to each day in Colorado. But I found that interesting because I have this Sonata Hybrid, which I've had for 10 years now. And I love it because it gets between 35 and 43 miles per gallon, but it's a hybrid. So this Malibu was actually achieving at one end of this mileage that I was getting a higher miles per gallon without being a hybrid. So it shows that what I have not learned in all my time is that the engines, these smaller engines with turbochargers, have been engineering improvements to get really basically good mileage before you go to the hybrid or the electric end of things.
So let me make a few comments about those turbo fours. And they've become kind of the norm, the run-of-the-mill 2-liter, 4-cylinder turbocharged engines putting out usually somewhere around 250 horsepower, sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more. And most of the ones I've driven are actually, really good engines, whether it's a BMW, the Volvo, I drove a Hyundai, Santa Fe yesterday, there's a feature I'll come back to also. All great engines. At first when they came out, I thought, they sound terrible. Some of them sound a little bit like a diesel, just this hard knocking that you don't hear on, let's say, V6s. But, recently I drove what was a nice V6 Toyota engine. It was in a Lexus. And just realized how little torque those engines really have compared to these 4-cylinder turbos. And they really are great engines. Now, some make more noise than others. And this past week I also drove a Mercedes the SUV, the middle of the middle SUV, not the C-Class, not the GLS, but the GLE class. And it's a Turbo 4 hybrid, and it goes 50 miles on full electric mode. And in full electric mode, it is the quietest vehicle I've ever driven. But when the engine is on, it just sounds like crap. It's just noisy. And it's just not a very nice sound. So some are better insulated than others. And I guess I'm going on a rant here, but just to say that electric vehicles are quieter, and that's what we should all be driving in the future. And that's what we will be driving.
Well, Jay, you also had a comment about the size of the tire you get on the car you buy.
So that was interesting. And Robin and I have talked about this a lot. A lot of manufacturers offer the same model and with different tire sizes, including, for instance, Tesla, which will give you a different range for bigger tires. And if the or a different range,
shorter, I think.
Lower range, yes.
Lower range,
lower
for
range
tires.
With the bigger tires.
I don't understand that. But.
Lower range also means just more consumption, whether it's electricity or gas in a car. So
correct.
These cars that you see with high performance tires and very low profile tires, first of all, get less mileage.
In general, get less mileage per gallon.
No, apples to apples, they will get less mileage with those bigger tires than they do with skinnier and higher profile tires. And also, they are a lot less comfortable, and they're less comfortable, and they're noisier. This Mercedes SUV that I drove recently had the the standard 18-inch wheel tires, which on modern cars is becoming a very small
small size option, right?
And it was just extremely quiet, and that's when I say running on full electric and no tire noise, the car was really very comfortable in the sense that it was really quiet. Base tires are usually the way to go,
better,
in my opinion.
I think I prefer base level tires on I think I have them on most of my vehicles, to the larger tires. And not to mention the fact the larger the tire, the more expensive it is at replacement time. And that's minor detail, I suppose. If people own Mercedes and Lexuses and all that, they don't care about what the tire costs. But some of the Cadillacs, I believe, have 22-inch. Some of the larger SUVs, I think, are coming out with 22-inch wheels.
Maybe
23, which
you don't care,
I would not get.
I take it you meant don't care about the financial aspect necessarily, but also these lower profile tires don't do very well in potholes, don't go over curves very well.
Correct.
Are a lot harder balance. I've driven some high-end cars with big wheels that always have a shimming problem because
they shutter over potholes too.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. That's a good topic to have brought to our listeners.
Potholes have disappeared from Route 22 and 684.
Yes, 22 has been improved in the last 6 months immeasurably over what it was over 6 months ago, wouldn't you say, Jay?
Yes, absolutely. Hey, so I want to come back on that Santa Fe I drove over the weekend, which is not the brand-new Santa Fe that just came out that looks a little like a cardboard box.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Good description.
But the one just before that, so like a 2020 to 2023, 24. And it had an interesting feature is when you put your signal on to change lanes, there's actually a camera view in the dashboard that shows you what's really immediately alongside the car. So that dead angle is totally covered by a camera. And
that is a very good safety feature.
It is incredibly good. And it leads me to the point that we should, the laws in this country do not allow mirrors to be replaced by cameras. But as cameras get better and screens get better, I think it's inevitable that is where we will end up someday. The problem I had with the Hyundai is that you're looking in the rearview mirror, obviously, when you're changing lanes, and that camera view is showing up in the middle of the dashboard. So now your eyes are going
back and forth,
hovering between looking into the mirror and looking at the dashboard. And oh, yes, you still have to look at what's going on in front of you. So that's going to create a bit of a problem. But it's a pretty cool feature.
Well, it is partly a distraction. Of course, swapping your eyes from the rearview mirror up in the headliner of the car down or on the windshield to a center screen on the dashboard. The old way of solving the problem was to get convex mirrors, little convex mirrors, which could go in the corner, either the upper or lower corner of your driver's side door-mounted rearview mirror. And I find those distracting because you have to get your vision switching from the full mirror size to a very small picture of the convex section of the convex mirror that's on there, which is very good at telling you exactly what you just said you saw on the Hyundai Santa Fe with this automatic camera.
I've had a few cars equipped with that in the past, many years ago, and you know I remember it's a little odd when you first have it, but it's a great feature, and you get used to it very quickly.
You do get used to it, yes.
I
put them on three or four of my cars that don't have convex mirrors on the. None of the cars have convex mirrors on the driver's side, and I guess that's meant to be a safety feature because of the distance that convex mirrors make the cars seemingly further away when they might not be.
Remember,
getting a little convex mirror for an older car side mirror is a good way to protect yourself from the blind spot, which is deadly in all the cars out there, in my opinion. You can lose an entire tractor trailer in that dead spot, and it's amazing that you think you could do that, but it's not there.
Do you remember the when in the beginning, and until not too long ago, I think, in the right mirror you had the words of wisdom, that objects may be
smaller than they are, right?
Or did they appear, or whatever the exact wording was.
They still do, I think, in many cars. Anyways, that's a very good safety tip, Jay.
So, what else is new in the car?
Well, you were going to talk about a Porsche model?
Porsche.
There are many videos online to tell you how to spell, to pronounce Porsche. It's not Porch, and it's not...
okay.
Anyway.
I like the Porsche. That sounds so good.
Yeah. Well, and there are many voices, different ones, that you can listen to all day long on YouTube. But I recently also drove a Macan, and... You know, over the years, I until recently, I had never driven one, and it's been reviewed by car magazines as being the best overall midsize sports/luxury
SUV.
And the one that I've been driving is a base model, so with the 4-cylinder engine. So it's not the fastest car ever. But it's just extremely comfortable. I think the seats are great. It moves fast enough that you can get around very comfortably, and you can make passes. The PDK 7-speed Porsche transmission, semi-automatic transmission, is absolutely great. It handles well. It's a great all-around car. Just like it. In fact, this morning I was looking at CPOs and used 2021s and 2022s, just because why not? But
just because why not? CPOs are certified pre-owned, for those listeners who do not know what the initials stand for, and we have noted on this show that it is a very good way to buy a used vehicle from a major manufacturer. Mostly, in my opinion, because they come with warranties that end up being extensions of the new car warranties, which end in a remarkably short mileage time, mostly 36,000 miles for the whole car and maybe 50,000 for a powertrain warranty. But the CPOs will go up to 100,000 miles and a time extension beyond the 3 to 4 year years that come with most new car warranties. Is that correct, Jay?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. And you may pay a little more for them, but if you buy a car with 30,000 miles and up, the new cars these days last longer than that without much, if any, needed additional maintenance besides oil changes and whatever you do in the standard service intervals on those cars. But... if something does go wrong outside of the new car warranty, having a CPO with an extended warranty could save you thousands of dollars if something major went wrong with the car that you purchased with a CPO warranty with it.
Hey, speaking of electric vehicles, which we've succeeded in not talking too much about today.
You just ruined it.
I just ruined it. I've been seeing a few Ford F-150 Lightnings.
Yes.
They're very discreet because they just look like an F-150.
Well,
they're pretty quick. I mean, the people driving them are moving in and out of traffic pretty quickly. And I actually like that truck.
I do too, Jay. And everybody I've talked to that owns one, short of anybody using it for extended loads or extensive loads, loves that truck. And Motor Trend readers, if you haven't already seen it online, they have done a comparo between the F-150 Lightning and the new Silverado. And I have not yet read it, so I don't know what the end result was, which came out first in their comparo. But, Jay, maybe you have read it, but it should be interesting to read.
We'll discuss that next week, because I think that it's a, you know, even though I'm not a huge fan of trucks, I mean, they are four-wheeled vehicles that people use.
Well, and this is a direct comparison between two all-electric pickup trucks.
And that's a good thing. Throw a Cybertruck in there.
I want to go and read it. Maybe I'll do so after the show, because I've been looking at it online. The headlines on the Motor Trend stuff that comes in daily to my computer.
All right, and on that note, guys, guess what?
We'll see you next
time
week.
Time is up.
Very good. See you next week. Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.